And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. We are filming on Valentine's Day. Of course, this will go live a little bit later in the week, but that's why we have a pink backdrop. So happy Valentine's Day to everyone that's out there. And my name is Brian Keller, and with me today we have a new guest.
Nisha Singh.
Nisha is fairly new to the team. You may have seen her on Channel 9 once before, showing off a Windows 8 app. Mm-hmm. And we'll see a whole lot more of her mm-hmm. as she is continuing to build a lot of great Windows 8 apps, and you're working on some Windows Phone stuff.
Yep.
And she's partnered with me on some of the OData work that we've done around Team mm-hmm. Foundation Server. So very smart lady, and she's digging into a ton of technologies. And that brings us to our top story.
Yep.
So our top story this week is that a new CTP, I think this is CTP 3, is available for Visual Studio 2012 Update 2. And we talked about this CTP a couple of weeks ago being available around CTP 2. There are a number of new enhancements in here. You can see that Fakes is now available for Visual Studio Premium, so it's no longer limited to people that have Visual Studio Ultimate. There's a really nice HTML and JavaScript profiler, so if you're building HTML and JavaScript applications, you can get in there and see kind of the amount of time your operations are taking and start to profile things like memory. And then there's a lot of stuff for Microsoft Test Manager customers as well. So you can go check that out. Note that this is not a go live release, so you shouldn't put it on your production servers, but it's a good time to start kicking the tires and seeing what's coming in Update 2. Next up, we have embracing semantic logging.
So Microsoft Patterns Practices has come up with semantic logging, and it's a new application block in which you don't have to define the templates or do configuration, just pre-decide the configuration, and you know you can change dynamically after you have deployed your logging infrastructure. And And logging, we know, is a very important part of any software engineering project.
Right.
It helps in diagnostic and problem solving. So this is just one step more closer to intelligent logging system.
Right. I like that a lot, because you know oftentimes you're troubleshooting a problem and you realize that you know the logging that you have isn't rich enough, and so
yes.
you really need to crank it up, but you don't necessarily want to go through a full redeployment
yeah.
or anything
yeah.
like that. So I like the ability to kind of you know increase that and decrease it as needed. So really nice work coming out of the Patterns and Practices team this week.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an interesting sample. At first, I looked at the sample and I said, "Wait, what does this mean? Project save as? I can already do file save as within Visual Studio." But this is interesting because it's actually a deep copy of your project. So if you've ever been in a situation where you've decided, "Hey, you know, I've got my project. Maybe it's in one directory that's under source control, and I just want to make a deep copy somewhere else on my hard drive that I can kind of play with it and not worry about checking it in and out of source control," then this is an extension that shows you how to do that. And what's perhaps more important here is that this is part of an ongoing series by the team that builds the all-in-one code framework. And we've talked about this on the show before. It's basically an extension for Visual Studio that allows you to browse a rich library that's being updated all the time of code samples that perform various tasks. And so this is a team that goes through, they curate the code samples, they take suggestions from the community mm-hmm. if there's additional samples that you want to have added. And so this is just one example of one of the hundreds, if not thousands, of samples that are available as part of that all-in-one code framework. So we talked a little bit about the OData work that you've
yeah.
done in the past, and so this sample that we have next is near and dear to your heart. What's this all about?
So this is the simple OData.client. As you can see, it's a portable library which you can use with the .NET framework for and higher Windows Store, Silverlight 5, and Windows Phone 8. So how many times you have run into a problem where you want to use an OData endpoint and add it as a reference and generate entity classes for it?
Mm-hmm.
And once your OData endpoints has been updated,
mm-hmm.
the classes change or something, some properties change, you have to update the reference again. So in this case, it's a bit different. You just add the library and you don't have to worry about, it's going to dynamically see how the endpoint looks like and be able to do intelligent querying for an Odata service endpoint.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think this is a really cool project, and we should point out that this is an evolution of a project that was originally available just for .NET Framework 4 platforms running on the desktop on full-blown Windows, right? Mm-hmm. And so what this is an extension of that simple.odata project to make sure that it's available as a portable class library so that it works on Windows Phone, Windows Store, and of course .NET Desktop. Yep. So this is really cool, and you said you're going to go back and work this into some of the TFS samples.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely use this one. Yeah,
that's awesome. I liked this one. You know, we've talked a lot about async and await in the past, and ways that you might want to use it. And talked about how Windows 8 is making heavy use of async and await for all of their all of the Windows Store projects you might build. But this is basically some golden rules for things that you should really pay attention to if you're using async and await operations. Like make sure not to use async void, or be really careful with async void. And I don't know about you, but I'm the type of person that I learn much better from anti-patterns when you tell me don't do these things than I do from make sure you do these things. So I like this list because it kind of flips everything on its head, and it's something to keep in mind whether you are an expert to async await or if you're just getting started.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very good article.
Yeah, absolutely. So semantic zoom.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we want to do in a Windows Store app is implement semantic zoom. It's a very good feature, I think. And this article talks about how you can use semantic zoom using C# and XAML. They talk about a scenario, and then they talk about the code that goes into the scenario. So semantic zoom is a meaningful zoom in and zoom out concept. So it walks you through a scenario, and I think that's going to be very helpful for people to understand how to actually implement that control, thinking about a use case.
Yeah, definitely. I think it really makes it a lot more useful than just, you know, zooming in and out of the individual pixels. If you're zooming out and you say you want a big picture view, rather than, you know, show each one of the individual cities on a map, then start going into states and then countries and so on. So I like that about Windows 8 and Windows Phone and a lot of the other places where we're starting to see semantic zoom show up. You've actually went through the process recently of publishing some of your apps to the Windows Phone Store and to the Windows Store for the first time. This article talks about the importance of thinking about how to make your app more attractive to customers in this specifically is Windows Phone Store. I think a lot of these concepts apply in Windows Store as well. And we've talked about a few of these things in the past, but it's a good reminder that, you know, you can have a really awesome application that you publish, but if you don't put your best foot forward when it comes time to making a nice display icon or having good screenshots or descriptions of your application, then it can really prevent people from taking a chance and downloading your app and checking it out. So this is just a good checklist to remind you of some of those things that are important. And as you found out recently, it's something that you can go back and you can adjust, like the screenshots pretty easily, but actually updating things like the description sometimes involves publishing a new version of the app to the store again. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure you spend the time up front to get that right, because you know, if you get a few bad ratings early on, it can be hard to recover from that.
Yeah, sure, definitely.
Yeah. So blog readers.
So if you're planning to do something in using JavaScript and HTML, and this is a very good scenario where you want to do a blog reader in a Windows Store app, and how to consume RSS feed, how do you define your own JSON data, how do you use various page control objects, how do you display data in a list view, how do you use the app bar. A lot of things covered in this one topic, and it's also part of a series of tutorial. So they go from basics and then they go to the blog reader. I think it's a very good article. It also talks about using the Split App Visual Studio template. So I think this is going to be a great read.
Excellent. Yeah, it's cool. It's like the new Hello World now is to create like a Twitter client or a blog reader. But I think you're right. There's so many concepts in here that are covered at length, and you get a chance to read about them by going through the sample. I think it's a really good one.
They do have a Hello World.
They do. All right. That's about my speed. So this is speaking of Hello World. This is a XAML introduction, and you know, Greg, he suggested this topic because he you've made a really good point that, you know, a lot of us that have already been doing some Windows Store and Windows Phone development, XAML is kind of, you know, a second nature language. But a lot of people are also doing line of business applications on Windows Forms, and they maybe haven't been exposed to XAML. And I think that this is one of the number one stumbling blocks I see that people have when they start getting introduced to a platform like Windows Phone or Windows Store, is just trying to understand XAML, trying to understand the relationship between the design side of things and the code side of things. And once you kind of get it, XAML is a really powerful thing that you can do. And there's a great kind of interoperability story between you know, the code and the markup and the tools like Blend and the tools like Visual Studio, which are now combined but still provide you with the tools that you need in order to kind of design your app and also make sure that your app performs correctly. But I like this. It's just a good reminder that you know, there's a lot of people out there that XAML is still new to, and it's a good primer that takes you through that. Now, at the other end of the spectrum in terms of complexity, we have 3D.
So this one, Visual Studio 3D Starter Kit, for it's a new download for Visual Studio, like one of the samples published by Visual Studio for Windows Phone and Windows Store. And basically what this does is it demonstrates the usage of Visual Studio graphic tools and asset manipulation, and how do you use those assets and process it through MS Build Task and for better runtime rendering. So I think this is going to be a great tool if someone wants to get started on how to use 3D or how to make games, or this is a great
tool. Yeah, and they have some cool examples of like how do you render a 2D heads-up display on top of a 3D landscape.
Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. So this is really cool, and definitely a great way to get started if you're working on anything 3D, such as a game for which you might want to take a look at the game design storyboard shapes. And so this is a set of storyboard shapes that you can use either kind of standalone or along with the PowerPoint storyboard plugin that shipped with Visual Studio 2012. And you know, I actually spent a year working on the XNA team and learned that one of the biggest challenges that game studios have when they're coming up with a new game is actually just that rapid prototyping and trying to figure out how do we make this game fun, how do we improve the gameplay, and how do we make sure that, you know, everyone thinks the game is fair but also challenging. And so you really need to spend a lot of time up front. One of the ways to do that is to storyboard the game and make sure that you can really go through that experience in a lightweight, flexible way that's easy to, like, you know, change things prior to actually investing in the expensive part, which is writing the code and putting all the assets behind it and that sort of thing. So it's cool to see these game design shapes out there, because it can make for some good storyboards. Which brings us to your very first, this week on Channel 9, pick of the week, which is?
The Blink Project.
What is the Blink Project?
So Microsoft Research has come up with this cool Blink app for Windows Phone. And imagine your friends are blinking a lot, and you're trying to take a picture. And you just want that perfect frame where nobody's blinking and things are perfect and fine. So you capture and you shoot, and the app actually takes various frames, and you can just choose the frame that you like. So I really like this.
Nice. And you can choose it all within the context of this app, and it kind of shows a good example of the different lenses that are available for Windows Phone 8. So so that's really cool. Free download from our friends in Microsoft Research. And so my pick of the week, this is a really cool project. You know, we've talked a little bit on the show about augmented reality in the past. I like this project because it uses Windows Phone 8, and it also connects to a Netduino sensor. And the idea is that you can have a 3D model of anything, really. In this example, he uses a 3D model of the Netduino sensor itself, and then you can use the the sensors from the Netduino sensor to get the angle and kind of the velocity and everything as you kind of sit and manipulate the Netduino board itself, and then on the phone you see the representation of that. So it's a really great example of how you can start to use these sensors and communicate with them from Windows Phone 8 using the Bluetooth stack and get this really near real-time simulation of the object in real life and then manipulating something within the application itself. So I like this. Check out the video. Really good example here. And the guy that built this, his name's Matt. I don't know his last name. Yeah. He's Rogue Coder. So nice job there. And Nisha, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
And we will see you next week.